Today on Real Life Radio.
We pray for revival. Oh, God, awaken the church. God, awaken your people. Why? Because when God's people start loving on those who are not God's people, those who are not God's people want to become God's people. And that's done by us having the idols removed.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called What's in Your Wallet, Part 2. You know, Pastor Jack's Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 16, we'll consider the issue of money. You see, one of the greatest hindrances for a person getting into heaven is the love of money and what money can bring. The issue of money and how it's used will someday be accounted for. The true follower of Jesus Christ sees money as a tool for God's kingdom. The desire for riches only leads into temptation and destruction. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that what's in our wallets will someday reveal who God really is in our lives. Doing all we can in the service of God means to be on the offensive, advancing the things of God with great generosity and great stewardship. Now, with his message called What's in Your Wallet, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
America can no longer trust in the dollar. Those things are evaporating. I was railed 2 years ago in a radio interview in Washington, D.C. when I said, listen, I believe as we shake our fist at God as a nation and defy him, that it's becoming more and more evident that A, our freedom is a perception. We're losing it. Number two, our military strength is the strongest in the world, but we don't have the will to fight. And number three, I said, our monetary prowess is propped up. Freedom, power, prosperity, those are now perceptions. And you say, Jack, what are you saying? Oh, I'm saying, listen, oh, church, listen. Are you listening? This is serious. Have we not been praying for a long time that God would cause America to come back, that we would see less violence in our schools, that we would see less killing of the unborn, that marriages would be healed? Think about it. Across the land, that our nation's leaders would become God-fearing leaders again and not steal and rob from people anymore. That if George Washington was to return or Jesus Christ, there would be faith found in America. Huh? Listen, we pray for revival. Oh, God, awaken the church. God, awaken your people. Why? Because when God's people start loving on those who are not God's people, those who are not God's people want to become God's people. And that's done by us having the idols removed. And it dawned on me in putting this message together. This may sound radical. I pray that it's prophetic. Could it be that our fasting and prayers and our intercession for this nation that God is answering in these last few weeks? How'd you say, Jack, how can you say that? How can you say that? The world is watching on. They want to know what's going to happen to America. I'm waiting. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting for someone to come out of Washington, maybe. And someone of authority would say, America, turn to God and pray. Perhaps he will have mercy on us. We need, maybe God is taking things down because he knows that the God of mammon rules in any and many of the Christian lives. We will follow God as long as God is giving to us. How do we know if we love him? How do we know until it's all taken away? Maybe God is answering our prayers and we didn't expect it. Did we expect him to rend heaven, pour down more blessings, and call that a revival? I believe if there's going to be a revival in America, it's going to be a revival of holiness. the church will be pure and a bride will become ready. Have you ever seen a bride getting ready for a wedding? If you're not a man, if you're a girl, you get it. If you're a guy, it's insanity. I'm gonna get my nails done. You just had them done. I'm gonna go get them done again. We have to do her hair, and they're all gathered around. You ever see that movie, The Big Fat Big Greek Big Fat? What's it called? My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And they're all preening and putting the in the day of the wedding. Remember that? She wakes up. What is that on your face? What is that on your face? What is it? What? It is a zit. You have a zit. Listen, the bride of Christ, when the Lord comes back, she's not even going to have a zit on her face. She's going to be clean and pure and bright, says the Bible. Her linen, fine, clean, and bright, are the righteous acts of the saints. I believe the Lord is preparing for himself the bride of Christ. But America needs to return to God. And what's in our wallet often dictates our level of joy. And that makes money an idol. It makes money a god. What's in your wallet? Jesus said this, Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I read this week in a newspaper article that security companies, their income is skyrocketing because of the level of violence that's going on in America. I guess if you want to invest in something in the carnal realm, invest in security companies. They're putting up things because people want to kill people and people want to rob people. And Jesus says, hey, put your treasure up in heaven. They ain't going to get up there. But I'm laughing because you know what? I'll tell you something. I had a really cool jacket. It was an awesome jacket. It was made by Champion Sportswear. It was given to me by a man who was the senior sales rep for the nation on Champions. You know Champion Sportswear? It's just great stuff. It was an awesome jacket. And you guys, I'm so stupid. It's such an awesome jacket that I didn't want to wear it because it's such an awesome jacket that I didn't want for anything to happen to it. I kid you not. It hung in my closet for years. I would put it on from time to time and I would look at it and I would thus say, this is an awesome jacket. I would look at it. This is an awesome jacket. God said, you know what? You're weird. This is like an idol. You're nuts. This is all going to be, and I'd come to my daily Bible reading and I'd come to that verse. This verse right here, where moth and rust come in to destroy. I say, okay, that's it. God, I give you, I cast this jacket at your feet. It's yours. I will wear it. I'll wear it out. I went in the closet. I opened it up and it was moth eaten. I never got to enjoy it. You never got the chance to see me in it. Why? Because little invisible moths that I have not seen still to this day are flying around saying, my, do you remember that jacket a couple of years ago? Yet that very thing's happening with people's retirements and people's banks accounts and all this stuff that's going on, and people are shocked. And Jesus said it from the beginning. Wouldn't you love to go on like Fox News Business or Bloomberg Report and say, Jesus said, he prophesied, lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven where Wall Street cannot break in or corporate raiders or self-grandizing politicians can skim money off of your account. Amazing. Also this, well, we will someday see that what's in our wallet will reveal what kind of God and who God is in our lives by this. Are you doing all, am I doing all you can in service to your God? Verse 9 says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves of unrighteous mammon. Jesus is not saying love money. He's saying get smart. Do you remember last week I mentioned the word tools? Christians should never open up their wallets. That's a pretty pathetic looking wallet, isn't it? Christians should never open up their wallets and say, my, look how much money I have. A Christian should open up their wallet or look in their check account or bank account or go online and say, Lord, thank you for these 10 tools I have. They're not dollars, they're tools to the glory of God. Because as I said last time, as a church and as your home in your life, if you start looking at money as dollars and dollars as money, the danger becomes the God Mammonos, Mammon. You know why? You will lean on it. Mammon means personal self-confidence or personal, it was the God of personal wealth. That's why Jesus used the word mammon. Are you leaning on personal self-worth? Literally, some in this room today could say, I was leaning on it more last week than I am this week. Because as the Bible says, it sprouted wings and flew away. My friend, can I encourage you? All along the way, we get deceived by what's in the account. It's tools. It's tools. God gives us to them as tools. What will we do with them? What we do with them dictates and announces who's our God. So Jesus says that in the end, look at verse 9 in the middle there, it says that when you fail, not if, when it all is done, when it's all over, when your life's opportunities have come to an end. Oh, please hear me. Today you may be Mr. or Mrs. Business Person, and you're saying, man, I'm okay. Or you may be a person today saying, Jack, I leave this service today, and I go home to my house for the last time, and we're losing everything. You need to understand something. God is not cold and callous towards he who has, and he's not wringing his fingers in sheer panic for him or to you who has not. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And his answer to you and I today, no matter where we're at, is lean on me. You trust in me. And America is waking up. And who will she trust in? Your neighbors will be turning to you and saying, there's a Christian that lives over there at that house. They're supposed to trust God. Let's see how they handle these days. And God will use us. It's as though this man here, he went to the bank. It's as though this guy goes to the bank and he says, you know what, it's all going to collapse. So how do I convert? Listen, this is cool. How do I convert money into opportunities for God's glory? Because one's vanishing. My master's firing me. So how do I take the opportunities that I have, fleeting moments to manage, and convert into everlasting habitations? Isn't that cool? You don't need a business degree to figure this out. The Holy Spirit will tell you this. It's remarkable. What are we using? In 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Church, did you hear that? Are you driving out of church today with a bicycle because that's all you got? Then pump that baby to the glory of God. You ride your bike back home saying, hallelujah, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you driving home today in a Ferrari? Thank you, God, for the Ferrari. Whatever you do, whatever you have, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, do it to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. What's the alternative? Is this not the great kingdom that I have built? Oh, watch out. It all belongs to him, Jesus is teaching us.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Jesus is communicating to us that when everything is gone and when it's no more, we can still be well off with God because we've laid it up in heaven. And think of this. The greatest investment that you and I can do is getting the word of God out to other people. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said and spoke to the disciples, quote, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. He didn't say pray about it, did he? He didn't say think about it. He said, go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let me pause right there for a second. Were you there last Sunday? It was so incredibly awesome. We'll show you the photographs. Hundreds and hundreds of people coming out into the water. A couple of thousand people covering the bluff. Some people, as I told you would, it happens every year, up to my left, your right behind you, people clearly not there for the baptism, dressed very nice, maybe coming from church, maybe coming from dinner, maybe coming from some other location in the area there at Corona Del Mar, yelling, God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. It was a spectacle. Did you see the news helicopter fly over and then the police helicopter flew over? News helicopter was probably asking, what's going on? Police helicopter probably asking, do they have a permit to do that? People stopping their little dinghy, aluminum dinghy boats to look on, and yachts going by to look on. Why? Because Jesus said, go therefore into all the world. The whole world needs to hear about him. There are people living in darkness. And Jesus says, go into all the world. Well, the book of Romans tells us, how can they go? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10. But it says, how shall they call upon the name of him whom they've not believed in? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard of? And how shall they hear about him unless there's a preacher? And how shall it be preached or the preacher go unless they be sent? So now all of a sudden I got to pull out my wallet and I need to evaluate with my life that God has given me. What am I going to do? Am I going to do this to further the kingdom? Or am I going to heap this to myself where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal? I got to make a decision. You will not be responsible for my decisions. I will not be responsible for yours. Everything that you and I have, our wealth, our possessions, are to be used to secure eternal friends. And I don't know if you like to hear that or not. Maybe you can't wait for me to just shut up and go on your way. I don't know. But don't you touch my wallet, man. We're not touching your wallet. Don't worry. We're not going to pass the plate. This message is to exhort all of us as Christians. This is a serious time. In 2 Samuel 24:24, those famous words of David, he said, for I will not offer a burnt offering to the Lord, my God, with that which cost me nothing. I'm going to worship God with those things that only cost me something. It's almost like when the truck goes by, American Disabilities truck comes by? And put that out there. We were going to throw that away anyway. Put that out there. Jesus would say, no. Take the shirt you just got and put it in the bag and put it out there. This is going to go to people who gave their lives for your freedom. Show somebody who you may never meet in this life. Do we believe this? You'll never meet them in this life, but show them that you love them. Yeah, but Jack, you won't know who I am. God knows. Is that enough for us? Do we have that big of faith that God will know? 2 Chronicles 31, as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in the abundance of their first fruits of grain and wine and oil and honey and all the produce of the fields, and they brought it in abundantly, the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and laid it up to him in heaps. Philippians 4:11. I say this not because I am in need, said Paul, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, including California. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be or to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in need. Why? How, Paul? How could you do that? Because his eyes were fixed on God. His eyes were fixed on the Lord. And then finally we end here. What's in your wallet and mine will someday reveal who our God really is. And are you really, and am I really, really in love with God? Do we really love him? And Jesus says in verses 13 and 14, you can't serve two masters. He's not making a judgment here like, you know, I'm telling you now. He's simply stating a matter of fact. Let me break it down like this. When he says you can't, please don't take this wrong, by the way. It just dawned on me. That could be taken wrong. He says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two wives. I'm not saying the wife is the master. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not insulting wives or men, husbands and wives. But you think you can please two wives? Are you nuts? Without God's grace, you can't please one wife. Can you please two companies you work for and neither one knows of the other one? No, no, no. You can't please money and God at the same time. You can't do it. Jesus says you're going to hate the one and love the other one. It's just the way it is. Or you're going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. It's an amazing statement. He says, you cannot serve God or mammon. And we're going to end right here. Watch this. See verse 14? You got to watch this. I mean, I actually have to show you what it means. Now the Pharisees, who were what, church? Can I hear it?
Lovers
of money, also heard all these things. And they, what does the word say? New King James says, derided him. This is an amazing word. You know what happened? I love how graphic the Bible is. When Jesus said, you can't serve both God or money. The word in Greek means a strong, muscular, facial expression to display scorn on the face, hostility and anger on the face. Listen, by the raising up or the lifting up of the lip. Of the lip. So I looked that up. Do you remember when Jesus was being crucified and they said, you saved yourself? I mean, you saved others, save yourself. Come down from the cross, then we'll believe in you. Do you remember when it says that they shook their heads at him and wagged their tongues? That's a Middle Eastern thing. Just like this is a Middle Eastern thing. Dusting your feet off. You want to upset somebody? You go like this in the Middle East. That means your life, your house is not even worthy to be under my shoe. I'll never see you again. Yikes. When Jesus said, when he, right to the heart, Jesus saying, hey, Pharisees, pick. You going to follow God? Or are you going to follow Mammonas, the God of personal confidence, money? Jesus said, God or bucks, God or cash, God or fill in the blank. And how do you and I handle that? Oh. Let's pray. Father, wow. Oh, I like the way John put it in the last hour. It's not only the last days. John said, it's the last hour. May we be living for heaven, and may we be ready, having no other altar. May you be, dear Lord, number one on a list of one. Not number one on a list of 10, but number one on the only list in our life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What's in Your Wallet, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Miracles. The word itself might bring up controversy in your own mind, but did you know that America's history is full of miracles? Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung in the balance? Our country is rich in miraculous tales of answered prayer. So you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer. It's by Susie Federer. 32 captivating but little-known stories from the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, World Wars I and II, and history up through Apollo 13. Learn the rest of the story of how people prayed, challenged, and inspired the nation, and how disaster was supernaturally averted. You are sure to get inspired as you uncover Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer by Susie Federer. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.